Hi, I'm Sean Cady.
And I'm Charlie Cady.
Welcome to Higher Orbit.
Welcome to our first episode, guys. We're here from the back of the shop with my brother, Sean.
Woo! Very first episode. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast.
Live, again, from the back of 821. This is Higher Orbit.
Yeah, a podcast where we give you a behind-the-scenes look at the cannabis industry in Canada, kind of the landscape, what the journey's been like to open a cannabis retail store, and one of the hardest, most fiercely fought after markets, Queen Street West, and have some guests, a bunch of very interesting guests in the industry as well.
Some of the people who move and shape it, right?
Exactly, Charlie, you got it. And we hope to kind of take you on that journey. We will be taking you on that journey and showing you what it's like to run a cannabis retail store in Canada, in Toronto, Canada. I guess we want to start with a little background, Charlie. What made you want to open a cannabis store, Charlie? And what were you doing before you opened a cannabis store?
I feel like it was a cross of our journeys, really, in a sense, and timing in a unique way of the opportunity. But background about us? We're from Toronto. Grew up in the East
York.
Yeah.
Woot woot! Shout out Beaches East York area.
That's right. Went to school, business, kind of had, I guess, more traditional experience in that sense.
Both very different journeys. You're more of a business background. You went to Ryerson, you have your business degree from there. And I was more of a culinary, hospitality background, always worked in restaurants, right?
Yeah, you have your degree.
I do. Yeah. I have a culinary management diploma from George Brown College. Thank you very much. What a great experience that was. That kind of was right around the time when I really started selling cannabis too, I would say.
Mm.
Would have been around that time, George Brown. Days needed income, let's be honest. And it kind of seeded from this passion of the weed was just never good enough. I was getting weed and it just wasn't good enough, Charlie. Do you remember those days?
Of course.
And I feel like one kind and it was what it was. And I just felt like there has to be something better than this. I remember being like, I could do better than this, you know? And I was really passionate about finding better weed is really what it all started with for me anyways. I was like, well, why don't we like tier things and like find multiple kinds of weed? And then that's kind of where things took off for me, I think, really.
Nice. So you know? Bringing on a bigger selection.
Yeah, I think kind of that really and like being on time. I feel like a lot of, lack of a better terms, you know, you were like back then you'd call somebody and you'd need some weed and you'd be waiting like hours and you'd be like, dude, are you close or what?
I think you mentioned something funny though. So when you worked in restaurants and I mean, I worked at a restaurant too and it's, you tie those two together. And I mean, a lot of people in restaurants smoke weed, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're passionate about food, you're passionate about weed. I feel like they kind of go hand in hand. A lot of people in hospitality are now in the cannabis industry, and I think that the pandemic kind of, you know, moved that forward faster. Totally, like a lot of people I know that were in hospitality are now in weed because it was essential service. You know, that industry
me too.
Kept going.
Yeah.
And there are some similarities. I mean, you know, we value good service at the store, right? And I mean,
well, that's what I wanted to say and like highlight. It's nice to see that start to translate. And I feel like that was something important for us when we wanted to, you know, open up our own retail brand was have that service, have that, product knowledge, the breadth, the curation, looking for the best. Like you said, you're like, I can always do better.
I needed to find the best. And that's really what it all stemmed with my background and legacy days and curating a good menu, having just good something for everybody.
Fire dank.
I mean, you know, good weed is different for everybody and people are looking for different profiles. And so, you know, I'd have my different jars and a little suitcase. I don't know if you've ever seen the show High Maintenance on HBO, but similar to that kind of running around, delivery was king.
The guy.
being on time, being the guy, and, you know, consistency and being on time really was what led to a lot of my success, I think. And having a good nose for it, you know, being able to sift through 15, 20 kinds of weed and be like, these are the 3-4 that are actually the winners, you know? And I think that that's, you know, that's kind of where I come from. That's like, so I was working in restaurants. First I was cooking. Cooking is great. I love food. I love cooking for my friends and family. But I learned very quickly that, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week in a kitchen just wasn't going to make me happy in life. So, you know, we try everything. I realized that quickly. There was more money in the front of the house. I'm really good with people. I love interacting with folks. So it was a natural transition to just bartend and serve. And I found even more, again, met more clients just being in the industry and grew just a black book of side hustle money. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, it was just my main hustle. I was just part-time at the restaurant. I wasn't so much at the restaurant all the time. And I was able to just, you know, live that life, which was pretty awesome. It afforded me the ability to travel and
do lots of
really cool things and see amazing weed and hash and be exposed to a lot of amazing things. I remember back in the day too, like, was when vape pens weren't even a thing yet. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course, I remember getting those.
And I was getting these little disposable strain-specific pens, and just like, they were just moving like hotcakes, man, because nobody else had them. It was just about being at that cutting edge.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. There are now, at least on the OCS, over 3,000 products. Can you believe that?
3,000 products.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just to think about that and like us trying to sift through that, we can't even say we've tried all that. Like, there's salad dressing, dude.
What? There's salad dressing. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think also that variety, that flavor of the week thing, that's definitely something in weed that it's not really as common in beer. Sure, you try like a craft beer, maybe you drink it once in a while, but I mean, it's a flavor of the month thing. Similar, right? It's seasonal. I don't know.
That might be a harder problem to overcome in cannabis industry because...
And we're still
you always want to find the best, next best thing. Well, yeah.
And I know that the OCS anticipates wanting to get to that 8,000. But anyways, back on track, history of me and you.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Charlie. Back to...
Yeah. Well, what? I mean...
What were you doing before you opened the store? And then...
Service. I mean, always worked in service since I was like a teen, really.
Didn't you have a sales job? Were you in a sales job?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love it. There's still key skills there. I mean, at the end of the day, everything is sales, but ended up at the bank and then COVID happened.
Around 2020. Right? I was at a tech job.
Earlier than that.
Kind of realized I was still selling weed, making great money doing that. Kind of understood that like I needed to find a way to build a legal brand if I was going to keep doing this, and you know, kind of took a step back to kind of make sure that like I still wanted to be in weed. So I got this tech job. It was an REO platform. It was a B2B sales platform, you know, and then that kind of transitioned to like I hate that.
I think that probably we just saw the opportunity arise because there wasn't very many good stores coming when it was a lottery, right? And then COVID happened and you didn't even have the job then, right? And then...
True. Fair enough.
I mean,
I guess I was just trying to get it. We were trying to leave the corporate shill behind, right?
That's true.
What would be better than working with my brother?
Yeah.
So that was kind of what spawned our passion to start Cosmic Charlie's, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I guess is where I was trying to go with it.
That's fair. I think just to bring it back to that, we saw that opportunity because there wasn't a lot of care or attention to some of like the corporate stores, right? Like in terms of so many things, like the culture, just going to a corporate from, you know, the days when you were flipping bags, it's something didn't feel right there for sure, right? Like you take that. You take the way the stores are built out and you want to create something fun and
Well, the landscape was pretty boring, a lot of like green walls and white space and not too much. So we did want to kind of bring a refreshing, energetic, positive, fun, you know, vibe to the Canadian cannabis.
Musical, funky, everything. Yeah. All the things that, right? You know, we think cannabis.
Cosmic Charlie was born as an inclusive brand for everybody and Stans is like all aliens welcome, baby. So from Pluto to Mars, wherever you're from, come say hi, 821 Queen Street West.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're live from 821. So check us out, Higher Orbit. You can
higherorbit.ca is the website. We're on Instagram at Higher Orbit. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to Higher Orbit. A big part of the show is going to be product reviews. We're really excited to bring you the latest and greatest stuff that's coming out in the industry. And we're excited to announce it's going to be kind of like our Oscars, I guess you would say, right, Charlie?
420 to 420.
420 to 420, the season's going to run. We do have our winners chosen. We aren't going to announce them yet. We'll keep you guys waiting. But they are the Space Traveler, Higher Orbit Space Traveler Award.
Yeah, let me see. So for those who can't see, this is a little astronaut we have here. We're going to retrofit and we'll award the best in each category of those 3,000 products. I mean,
3,000 so far, but we have six categories, right, Charlie?
Six categories, yes.
And it's going to be based on, obviously, sales volume, our opinions, obviously, and our bud tenders and our clients. So we've gotten feedback from everybody and have chosen our best. The categories are going to be infused pre-roll, flower, edible, beverage, and
drink.
Vape. Oh. Well, you forgot vape. And then we're doing topical, even though I know you didn't want to, but we're doing
that. Makes it seven, I guess.
Does that make it seven? So seven. We're doing the topical.
I don't know. Showrunner doesn't like topical. I like topicals though, but anyways.
Moving on.
Yeah. What's going to make them a winner? I guess you already said, but you know, respectively, that is the fun part, right? How do you grade a product, right? Is it innovative?
Well, I mean, each category is going to be a little bit different. Innovation has a big part to do with it. But I think it's going to be number one,
what's your most important factor?
I think it has to be the actual consumption at the end. It's got to be
what does it do?
Yeah, the effects. I'm going to say effects is up there. And then the experience of to get to said effects, right? That includes, sensory experience, I'd say, smell, have it be taste, smell, the way it looks, that's all part of the journey to get to the effects.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm trying to say?
Even brand now, I think, is important because
Oh, that's important too. Yeah. That's definitely important. Branding's super important.
Especially in this new way that weed is sold.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Branding is everything. Even in legacy now, it's if you don't have the wraps for everything and the branding bags. The, everything that's happening right now, then forget about it. So that's definitely an important factor. I think just general volume and do the people like it? No,
that's important.
Important.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
And, is the foot soldiers or the dispensary when we bud tend here?
Also, value. I feel like value is always
a factor, but not as important.
If you're looking for the best, period. Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
No, but it still has to be considered.
Yeah. So, consistency.
Consistency. Critical. Thank you. Yes. Especially when we're talking scalability and sometimes certain our favorite products start to try and service other markets and you kind of
watch them drop off.
It just changes.
So
I don't know with a drop off, but it just changes, right? It becomes more commercialized.
Yeah. That's tough.
So really excited to announce first. We're going to announce all of them at the same time.
Yeah, I think we will.
We will.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Definitely excited for beverages, right? What we have next.
Next episode. And on the next episode, we are going to have Matt Cherkis from She Sodas. So look out for that. Really excited to have you on, Matt. Woo.
So definitely products. That's a fun part of the job. I can't wait to have some good guests on the show. Get to know about, a side that we don't really get to know and maybe other people don't, right? Get to shine a little bit of light on that. And I mean, it's funny to talk about all these products and I do love them and we do get to have our award, which I think is great. And at the end of the day, it's always for people to get better, but it's also so tough. People probably grow lots of nice stuff and then It ends up being dusty.
Yeah. I think that's the growth cycle of cannabis always makes it really hard, right? Because you never know what you got until you get to those late stages.
Right.
And I guess that one makes the phenol hunt so important, you know, finding the genetics that are going to produce what you need.
And then keeping up with it, right? And losing the mother and the, just punishing them, right?
I heard a terrible story recently about the rose gold runts. But apparently we won't be seeing those for a while. It's just Mother Nature, man. It happens. I think it's public. I think it's fine to talk about it.
Fair.
So stay tuned.
Yeah. We'll check us out, higherorbit. You can see it. What, Sean? Your email is sean@higherorbit.ca.
sean@higherorbit.ca.
Mine's Charlie.
charlie@higherorbit.ca. If you have any questions or if you want to be on the podcast, send us an email.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. Welcome back to Higher Orbit.
We're in the back of the shop, back Trinity Bellwoods, 821 Queen Street West.
CosmicCharlies.shop, baby.
That's right. The one and only
cannabis dispensary in Canada.
Ooh.
Let's go.
Shots fired. I like it. We will have hot takes on the show. That's for sure. I guess we just got to open that up a little bit, but.
Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to get off your chest, Charlie? I guess it was more like open forum. I mean.
Yeah, no, just, you know, back to what we're all about. I mean, what do we banter about? What's our on and on, right? There's always
Well, what are you smoking right now? That's an easy one.
Oh, wow. What are you smoking?
It's pretty
1964 is pretty fire, but I like their Super Lemon Haze. Yeah. That was really
too hazy for me. It is nice though. It's old school. It's super super dense. Very frosted. It smells amazing.
Smells great. Organic, right?
There's a harshness to it, though. There's a quality to it that I couldn't smoke a ton of it, but
anything that's lemony is kind of like sharp, I find.
Yeah.
Like the sharp terps.
That's your pick this week? 1964, that's super lemon, eh?
Sean, so underwhelmed. It's super lemon, it's good.
I'm just not a sativa.
Super lemon.
Yeah, that's what you got for me, Charlie?
Wow.
I'm joking.
Don't be rude.
I'm going frost. You know I'm going frost. The frosted fruitcake. Rotating strains. It has to be. That is amazing.
Yeah.
It tastes like exactly like the name says. I honestly feel like there's like a Christmas cake quality to it. It's almost like a clementine.
They definitely need to be kept on them.
Clementine with like dried fruits and like this cakey sweetness. It's so good. It's just like, to me, that's the perfect hybrid. It's a really good one. I could smoke that all day. Really excited to see what Frost does next. Definitely up and coming producer out of Burlington, right?
It's good to see. Yeah, nice weed. I mean, it's pretty reasonably priced. I think it's hard to, you know, again, get the perfect product in a legal bag. But I think that there are like some legacy guys, and I don't know, they're bringing some heat to the game. It's nice to see. It'll get better and better, right? I mean, that's been the big journey, really, is funny enough, seeing it get better and watching these products come and go. And it's an interesting thing that we've experienced the past couple of years, seeing this industry kind of shape itself, eh?
Certainly. This will be our second 420. I guess it'll be our second anniversary this June at Cosmic Charlie's here. And we also got some stuff coming up on 420 we can talk about. This 420 is coming up. We're going to be doing a charity barbecue at the store. Anybody's free to come
or
by.
Or charity pizza, maybe.
Charity pizza, maybe. Undecided. Pizza or barbecue. Stay tuned. But basically, we'll be giving out some food and a beverage if you make a donation. $4.20, Cannabis Amnesty. We're going to be matching those donations as well, guys. So we'd love to come see you, come support. That'll be April 20th at the shop from 12 to 4.
Yeah, we'll give away stuff
too. We'll have some giveaways that day as
discounts,
well.
Discounts
all day. If you're a CosmoPass member, look out. Double points.
All about weed and community.
Weed and community, baby. And then we're going to be following that at night. We'll be at Lavelle Nightclub on King Street West. with Carmel is going to be there, Black Market, Coterie, Stores and Bickel, Beurre Blanc, baby, I think, is doing a dab bar.
Nice.
Rooftop Lounge. I think get there early because it's going to be busy if you're coming, but we're really excited about that as well.
It's funny to always see the same cats now. It's like gotten drilled down the industry.
Well, I think that's because we've already been doing it for 2 years. You already see like so many people have moved up, right? And thinking about how many, which hopefully we'll be able to have some of them on the podcast. We can hope anyways.
Yeah, that's true. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
So 2 years. One thing I'd like to see less of, I guess, Charlie, is the high percentage chasing game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hot right now. I mean,
it sells, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what's hilarious. I'm always conflicted. I'm like, you should just get it. I mean, we sell the one runs.
I know. Kinda need it. Well, I start wondering, do we need to start asking for COAs? Do we need to start questioning where people get their testing done? Doesn't matter. Just sell the people what they want.
Yeah, I also believe in that too.
Really?
And well, yeah.
If they want to play the percentages game, we just let the consumer play it. You just have given up, eh?
No. There are some.
I still try and
obviously, I think that's why people come here. They like to learn about certain things like that, but some don't, and that's fine too.
Fair enough.
It's not good in general, probably from the perspective of like, yeah, price and what it does to the market, like with respect to, let's just say, the assortment of high THC.
I think it always ends up coming down to the high THC comparison to the price, right?
Yeah.
To be honest.
Exactly. That's what the data. It's weird. You don't want to see too much of that influence, right? They say the data, I follow the data. I studied data, man. You can't always follow it to a T.
Do we think the solventless trend means more to like people in the industry, but not as much to the core consumer? That was something that I wanted to ask you.
We try, but
like the solventless.
It's a nicer buzz, but 10 milligrams still doesn't do very much. Like that's, really? Yeah.
I find that with the solventless product that it does affect me a little bit more than the distillate.
A little bit more. You know,
and if I stack it, even just 20.
Maybe that regulation will change. I don't know. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see, though. But, I mean, that would be a significant change, really. I don't know. It seems weird because the industry was created, and then it was almost like it crippled, obviously, the gray black market. And then it's also just crippled from the get-go, except for, I guess, like lottery winners or chain stores, maybe. But they must be hemorrhaging, too. But
I'm just a little frustrated. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about edible limits, and we all know that they had the jolts out, and we had our glitches that have been doing really well. Everybody's been loving those. I'm pretty sure they're gone in May or June. They stopped making them. I think that the supply has been made. Health Canada has issued them order to basically stop.
But see, maybe that's just the right stepping stone to them.
Happened. People are already consuming this amount of THC.
Nobody's from a regulatory standpoint, though, because they're not properly regulated. They found a loophole, right? But at least it's getting Health Canada to look at it from a perspective of, hey, this existed and it was fine.
My whole issue is, why did they let it go through and now you're going to take it away? It's like, just don't.
Because it's a loophole and they don't understand it.
They could have still stopped the product from
being. They don't know what an edible extract is. First of all, it never existed. But how would somebody at Health Canada, who's a fucking
scientist. It's semantics, though. That's literally what it comes down to. What's a gummy.
You think a scientist at Health Canada knows what live rosin is?
They should.
Yeah, well,
that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Anyway. It starts to get nuanced with these weird products.
You know?
I am curious to know how much the infused salad dressing is, weight by gram. I always love weight by gram. Like some CBD products are just an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Bath bombs, an ounce. That's an ounce of weed, sir.
No, but they changed that, didn't they?
Certain ones.
Yeah. Topicals are important. I can't believe you wanted to cut topicals.
That's what I mean, though. Topicals, okay, fine. No, what was I saying? So with respect to them reviewing those regulations, it is important. Think about it. So those changed because people talked about it, because it's annoying, because we need people to be able to buy more drinks so that it's more accessible and more occasional if the industry wants to keep going, right?
Yes.
So They'll look at it. It's just part of the growing pains.
We can hope, I guess. We can hope. I still think that beverages would be great to see, like, 6-packs, 12-packs actually.
If they weren't at $30 value
price, if they weren't like $100, yeah, it would be good. We'll get there though, eventually.
Yeah. Be cool to have a regulatory person on the show. Maybe we'll pull that off sometime. They probably can't talk to us though.
I was about to say they'd just be like so careful about what they can and can't say.
They wouldn't
That'd
be allowed
really
to.
Hard.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. It's almost like you want somebody that
quit
used to work there.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
To get anything juicy.
Yeah. There'll be juicy stuff.
There'll be juicy stuff, though. Yeah. Tune in, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
We want to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear questions.
Could be fun, actually.
Yeah, shoot us questions.
Shoot us
Charles
questions.
Charles or Sean
at Higher Orbit. Yeah.
At Higher Orbit for Instagram. We're at the back of the shop. Oh,
don't forget, we're on cosmiccharlies.shop is the shop Instagram. And our backup is cosmiccharlies.ca because, they be watching.
Dude.
What's up?
We got to open the store.
Damn, we got to open the store, y'all. Until next week, look out. Matt Chirkus from She Sodas is going to be on the show. We're very excited.
Thanks for tuning in.